It's Ask TNA Day, and on this month's episode, can I learn to like the texture of cum? Then, how long do I need to wait for him to get over his ex? And finally, what do you think about men wearing women's underwear?
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Alrighty, episode 126, because sex isn't ever just about sex, right, A?
You know it.
It's so complicated, but in a good way. Complex.
Yes, it's complex, and sex is a great teacher. Okay.
I just want to say last week's episode, I feel like is like unlocking the treasures of life for me. Because
which episode?
About Cuddle Sanctuary and the need for physical touch. And if you are actually getting your quota of physical touch met every day, how much more balanced is your mindset and the decisions you're making for yourself?
Are you not getting enough touch, T? Is this why it's up on your mind?
Oh, well, yeah. There's always a yo-yo. It's a yo-yo. And so how do you create consistency?
Yeah.
You know, the same way that you try to...
You hire a cuddler.
Yeah, the same way you try to work out regularly and, all these things.
I have cuddle sessions with Gigi in the morning.
Your dog.
Our mascot. Yeah, my dog.
Yeah, our mascot. Oh, I'm going to post a little video. A little
that
dog.
Gives me an oxytocin boost. I think she appreciates it, too. The day is not right if we don't start with cuddling. Okay, so a couple things. I am getting closer to my departure to Europe, and I am putting it out there to you guys. Because I will be writing about masculinity and femininity, and I would love to hear from you because I'm gathering a bunch of research materials right now. And if you have read anything throughout your life or come across anything you felt was really insightful about this topic, I would love to hear what it is. So you can let me know, please, by going to my website, stephanieallen.com. You can email me there, follow me on social, get a hold of me there. You could also join the newsletter. And that's the easiest way for me to have direct communication with you. And there's also a free video when you sign up for the newsletter about the number one thing that will change your relationship with the opposite sex immediately.
Ooh. We like that. All right. Well, and also because you're listening to the advice episode, if you have any questions and you're thinking, how do I get, my questions answered? You can write us at advice@tatalksex.com. And I just wanted to thank our listeners who do write us in to let us know that they listen to some episodes. David wrote that he said, I'm listening to your submission podcast. I'm really enjoying it. A friend called me a service top, and A's partner sounds like one too. It's kind of like a caretaker. And what you said about the desire to make sure that one's partner has a great journey is definitely part of it, at least for me. I love noticing the little things that give hints of what would make that person feel pleasure. So anyway, I liked that a lot.
Just a sort service of, topper.
Yeah, a service top.
My
yeah.
ex-partner. He's no longer my partner.
I think that's, I know. Well, yeah, as time
change.
Flies, yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that's like episode 79 or something. I mean, you have to scroll back. Maybe, yeah,
you're
do a search
it.
For TNA Talk Sex submission and you'll find it. But learned a lot. I mean, it's definitely affected my relationships moving forward.
For sure.
Well, because I observe like, what is it that I really want out of a partner? I like someone who, for me personally, I like someone who's still sort of publicly assertive or present, but then kind of, yeah, like a service to me and as a lover. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's I feel that it's very natural and inherent to the dynamic between masculine and feminine personally. And it's a big turn on for me. Also, Anthony wrote in and referring to our submission, our posture episode, he said, really liked your latest show about posture, as this is something I've had issues with for a long time. So thanks, Anthony.
Yeah. Well, that was just two shows ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have our Lumo lift that we're playing with.
About to start the competition.
Yeah. Start the posture challenge.
Okay. So moving on to our first question. Let me pull it up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so here we go. E writes in, first off, I just want to say that I love your podcast and I enjoy listening to it.
Yay,
thank you. It has already helped me tremendously in my sex and relationship life. So here's my dilemma. I am in a current wonderful relationship for the past 3 months. Our sex life is incredible and he's opened doors for me in ways I never knew possible. My issue is that although I love giving blowjobs, the fear of getting him off all the way to coming terrifies me. Now he usually just pulls me up and we have sex to finish him off. But I want to be able to finish a man off if for some reason I can't have sex or not feeling well enough too. How do I get past the fear of it? What scares me the most is the texture of the cum, not the taste. Any advice would be great. Thanks again. what are your thoughts, team?
Yeah, immediately I thought, well, necessity creates change. So I almost thought, well, as soon as you're not feeling well or unable to have sex and you're, you know, doing it, there's nothing like ripping the Band-Aid off than doing it.
Yeah. I mean, sensory adaptation for sure. I think the more you do something, the more like you...
comfortable you become with it.
Yeah. But there's a couple things that come up. One is... the fear of something is always scarier than the actual thing. So I think what's happening is, you know, there's the anticipation, and because you know that it's there and it's in your head, it's now become this thing, right?
Yeah, this big, like, murky monster.
Right, and this snowball effect happens and then you can't overcome it. So I feel like this is kind of a Zen mind situation, like mind over matter. And I feel like your thoughts are really important here. So like when you're going down on him and the thoughts start going, it can first start out as a little seed, and the more you will put your attention on those thoughts and let them grow, it's going to become this huge snowball. So the counter effect of that is to shift the attention of where your mind is going. And like when that thought comes through, don't let it get stuck in your head and like, oh my God, you know, and
you're right. Focusing on that.
And then refocus on like his penis and what it feels like, and put your hand somewhere on him and feel the hairs, like get out of your head and into
the arousal experience.
Yeah. And like the body, and just don't let your head psych you out.
Yeah. Like when I'm performing oral, I really love how you can feel all the little like nuanced, you know, I don't know.
Curves
of the penis. But I was going to say sort of like when it spasm, like you feel the muscle spasm, or like they get a little harder, or
right.
But also the texture, the way like moving your tongue around the penis and really exploring it in detail, creates such a pleasurable experience where you're not in your head and you're thinking about, or I guess more accurately, your mind is focused on
something else.
Well, yeah, the details of it, the details of the pleasure. I think it's about staying focused on the pleasure. And the reason I think it's interesting, because E is saying, you know, I want to be able to do it, but I have fear. And it's like, well,
the hardest part is done. The will is there.
Yes. But I wonder if there's also sort of this block of, you know, if you're more worried about the pleasure, then the actual coming inside your mouth is a little less important. Like that's not maybe like kind of where the focus is being put. And
wait, hold on a second. You mean like she doesn't need to get herself? Is that what you're saying? She doesn't need to get herself to a place where she can handle the cum in her mouth?
Well, yeah, that. But well, I think I just mean also this sort of focal point that somehow she's not doing it right if she can't finish him and all of this. I am jumping around a little.
I don't think she's saying that she's not doing it right. I think it's just, I mean, I get it. Like you want to, she wants to.
Well, can I be honest?
Because it's a great experience.
Well, let me say this. I actually don't love swallowing. It's not my thing. I don't really do it.
Really?
I mean, I have done it. I have, and kind of for the reason she's saying, it's like, well, let me cross the bridge.
Right.
Like I, you know, all right, it's not going to kill me. I can do it. But I don't love it. And the times that I did, I would kind of try to make sure it hit the back of the throat, went straight down so that I didn't taste it.
That is a helpful thing, is putting it, like having it hit the back of the throat. I started off, like it's always, like it had always been an awkward, like, okay, I'll do it, you know, but now I enjoy it. And I think because for me, having their cum, like when it's someone that I'm intimate with, it's like
that you feel passionate about.
Yes, it's I like ingesting them.
Yeah.
You know,
well, the same way
he does, intimate thing.
The same way he does me, right? If he's down on me, like the men that I have that intimacy with, they like my taste and flavor and
right. I have an experience with this also with kind of, you know, you guys know that I enjoy dating older men. There does sometimes, if I'm being honest, sometimes there are things that I experience bodily where my brain, my computer program gives me signals of like, ew, gross. You know, if it's like fleshy skin or like, or really dry or things that are just sensorially, it's not like this young, hot body, you know? And the thing is that I'm able to separate it. Like, I'm able to see that, oh, that's just my mind activating. And so I get over it. It kind of in this way that I just explained, like, I focus on the other things. I focus on my pleasure. I focus on connecting with him through his heart or whatever. Like, I just don't let it snowball, you know? And like, if it's like, oh God, and then that, and then that, and then that, like, I don't let it escalate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of, but okay, let's say this. Is there a process in coming to enjoy the texture of the cum? That's her literal question. And I have to say, first of all, diet can make a difference on, like, well, not texture, well, but taste. Flavor. Yeah. But I feel like that's a big part of it. But texture is, again, it is about focus. It's just the way that you perceive it. Do you, and I think it's rather than thinking, oh, I have this thing that I have to do to give my partner pleasure, and I know I want to give my partner pleasure, so I'm going to do it. It's more like, what could be cool about the count? You know, when you have successfully gotten this person off and having them in your mouth and kind of creating a full experience, you know, to be honest, I would take it to the next level, which is maybe you kiss him after,
yeah,
or you, or yeah, it's, you know, and then you're sharing it and you're not the only one.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's like, okay.
I'm a fan of the guys I've been with. They like that.
Okay. No, I'm not
all of the
no,
guys I've been with. No, I'm just kidding.
I will say, like, when I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, well, you know, the behavior therapy or like sensory adaptation would be just like slowly get yourself, like, have them come on your stomach and play with it, but, or like, yeah, put it in your tongue. No, but I thought about this and I'm like, no, I don't think, for me, like, if I put myself in that situation, I'm like, I don't think that would work, because for me, when cum is cold, you know, and it's like so much more, there's like a barrier, like licking it off of his body, it would be hard for me.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Okay.
Having, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but let
like
me
having
say this.
Him in my mouth, like, directly is like a completely different story, and much easier.
And you can just swallow it really quickly if you don't want to play with it. I have to say this. I prefer the cum on my stomach because I kind of like playing with it. I mean,
with
I say
your hands.
Yeah, or I call it the cum hug. I like them to hug me after.
I like
and
that
feel
too.
It
glues you together.
Yeah, and feel it between our stomachs and stuff like that. And so my point being, I actually really get pleasure out of that. So I'm
with your
so,
hands though, but I'm thinking she's it's an oral.
No, I
thing
know, but
her.
What I'm saying is, I don't love swallowing cum. I'm saying I don't love to receive it in my mouth. I do love receiving it on my stomach and hugging after.
Right.
And so maybe that's okay. So what I'm saying is, can she? What does she love? What right. if we kind of reverse the question, and rather than like, how do I get myself to acquiesce, which you can shift your focus and enjoy it, but maybe you just do it occasionally and it's not your favorite thing. What is something that you would enjoy?
Yeah, I guess my thing is just, I think that's good advice. I guess I just, because she wants to, I feel like the only barrier here is her computer program, and it's just a matter of shifting the program, you know, and to me, that's just biology and that's brain stuff and that's shift, you know, it is practice and it's continued. Yeah. Exposure and redirecting your thoughts, because your thoughts are what's going to create the program.
The fear, because it's not such a big deal. The other thing is, look, I have received the cum in my mouth and I'll spit it out into the trash can or the bathroom. I don't necessarily swallow.
But you hold it in your mouth and you go to the bathroom to spit. That sounds much more awful than just like,
I don't know,
putting it down my throat. That would gross me out if I am like, oh, I got a mouthful of cum, let me run to the bathroom real quick. And then I have to like disengage from the intimate. I don't know.
But you know how there's the, when it lands in your mouth, there's sort of, it's like when you drink sour milk, not that cum's like sour milk, but I'm saying something in your mouth that you're not excited about, you hold in your mouth until you get to the,
Okay, I will say it, I don't like swish it around my mouth. I think I definitely do the approach of like, I put it in the back of my throat.
Whoa, now we're getting honest.
Yeah, no, I'm not like, oh, taking like a mouth bath of
but
cum.
But I'm sure that people do.
Actually,
and I've been with guys where they eat their own cum.
I've been with them too, and that's great too.
I
kinda
like it.
Yeah, I like it too. But if she's trying to get to a place because she wants him, she wants to be able to handle him coming in her mouth, then you can. Like the back, I think you're right, T. I think the back of the throat thing is really helpful.
Maybe start there. Yeah.
Yeah,
because kinda, you don't it's like a it's, shot. Slam it back, like tequila down. I kind of do approach it that way.
Oh my, really?
Yeah.
I like cum. I mean, again, I'm not taking a bath in it, but what it means to me, it's like I want, like, it's like, it is their life force, symbol, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, really, essentially, but I like the whole symbolism of it.
I agree with you. Symbolically, I am a fan. Truly. But you know what's funny is the way that I enjoy, so I agree with you, the life force, and I mean, I already said it, but I like it when they pull me up and kiss me, and it makes me feel accepted in my gesture to them, and it kind of creates this full circle feeling of pleasure for me, like, oh, they're excited and rewarding me for doing that for them.
Yeah, no, that's nice for sure. I mean, yeah, I much more than like if they're trying to avoid you, because it's like,
I don't think, okay, I've had anyone do that.
I think I've had some people who have been like, they don't avoid, but they're definitely not like,
they're not excited about tasting themselves.
Right. They don't want, they're not like kissy kissy, you know.
You know, well, let me say this. I think when I was younger, I wasn't kissy kissy and they weren't right. Kissy kissy. But now that I'm more open, and I find they are. And I also, I don't know if it's a threshold thing for men and women, but as a woman, I find that men are willing to go there when I'm willing to go there.
Yeah. And I find that too.
Yeah. And I
feel like women,
I would love for our listeners to write in if they've had, if the men have had experiences where you try that with the woman and is she resistant?
Sorry, try what specifically?
Well, anything where like kind of you haven't cut, well, that's interesting. If you haven't gotten like that permission of like kissing her after you went down on her. Like, I think that's a big thing. That's a big thing where men kind of are, you know, and often they'll, you know, well, you wipe your face maybe between her legs.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. I don't want it to
especially
be
there's like
completely
a bunch of
wet.
Spit, you know?
Yeah. I don't love that. But I do like the smell, the faint smell of myself when they kiss me.
Sure,
and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's some women who are going to go, what are you doing? What are you? No way. Right. And it's
just like there are men.
Yeah, but I feel like it might be higher percentage that women get turned off. And what I'm saying is that men are like, cool, she's getting dirty. Yeah. Mm. Like they're more game for it. And women are kind of censoring themselves more and having kind of these persnickety, like, this makes me uncomfortable, gross.
Right.
Just like the swallowing of the cum.
Maybe.
So let us know, guys, if you've had those experiences. Or and the women, whatever you guys are feeling on that subject. Does it make your skin crawl or are you like, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk about
emotional baggage in a relationship.
Yes. How long do I wait how long do I wait for him to get over his ex?
Yeah. Or do I need to move on?
It's a complicated question.
It is complicated. So we're going to hash it out and then we have naughty men in panties conversation after.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, write us at advice@tatalksex.com if you want to chime in on the conversation or have your own questions. And Stephanie,
and if you have any suggestions on some research material for the topic of masculinity and femininity that have been interesting to you, I would love to hear about that. And you can contact me at stephanieallen.com. That would be very helpful. Thanks.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Welcome back. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And
Question number two.
Okay. T writes us, not to be confused with this T. a different pair of tits. Wrote us and said, just when I was going to take a break from dating apps, I connected with this guy. He wasn't my usual type, so I didn't think it would work, but I stayed in the game. After our initial connection was made, we exchanged numbers that day, and shortly after, we planned our first date. We've been dating ever since. Randomly, about 3 weeks ago, Thanksgiving weekend, he said that he's not ready for anything serious because he's not emotionally over his ex. They broke up because she cheated on him and he felt she was using him for his money. We have still been dating even though he's not yet ready for a serious relationship. Though now, I feel like since he said that, I'm constantly having to prove that I'm not going to cheat on him or use him for his money. I'm a very independent woman and haven't asked him for anything other than his time. I even purchased pricey tickets to a show that we both like to prove that I can stand on my own 2 feet. Mind you, we haven't even had sex yet. So my question is, how long should I wait for him to be emotionally moved on from his ex? Or how long is too long for me to wait for the serious change before I should let him go? I know that there's no definite answer, but any help would be appreciated. Thanks in advance. tea.
Not this tea.
Yeah, we won't name where, all that good stuff.
Okay, so many things come up for me. Maybe because I was just sort of in a similar dynamic where I was waiting for the guy that I was dating for a long time to handle his ex, sort of semi-ex situation.
Breaking up.
Right. They were in the midst of a breakup and, you know.
And you intercepted.
And I we met at that time and it was a long thing. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, I'll stick around and give this a chance and, you know, I'll give it X amount of time and whatever. So my experience with this is, and you're not going to like it, T, but I think the best thing would be to go, to leave.
No.
Because here's the reason. It's that, okay, because I'm thinking that for him, by him being with you, this is what it sounds like to me. Him being with you and hanging out is he doesn't want to be alone, right? Of course. And he's enjoying your company and he doesn't have to, face the loneliness. And so that feels good to him. But by him saying that he's not ready for anything, he's not ready for anything, you know? And I feel like we can be very generous, especially when we want something to happen. But I just don't think his mindset is going, I just don't see it changing from like him being with you where he's not ready for something. And then all of a sudden it's going to change with you and he's going to be ready for something. So I think you should go. And here's the thing I also know for sure about men. When they want something, they want something and they are persistent and relentless.
Well, and also if he isn't that type of person, then maybe you don't even want to, then maybe you don't want to be someone like
but
that.
But I feel like if you were to say goodbye now and months down the road when he is ready and you had an impact on him and he really liked you and wants to be with you, he will come find you.
I think he'll also... I actually have to say I agree. I think, but I don't think it's walk away. Hey, you didn't give me what I need you won't commit. So I'm out. You know,
no.
I think it's more this. Yeah. A gentle, open communication approach, which says, hey, sure. You know, you really communicated to me that you're not ready. And I feel like you can say kind of what you said to us, which is like, you know, I feel like I'm having to prove myself to you that I'm not going to betray you like this other partner. And I'm really excited that I met you and I really would love for something to be, but I feel like maybe you need some time to process it and you know where to find me when you're ready.
Yes. Good. Yeah, I agree. And may I also point out that maybe T, not you, T, listener, right. T, we should have picked maybe a different letter.
I know, yeah, we will.
May I say that, and yeah, again, maybe you didn't put this in your letter, but it does sound like I'm a little, not disturbed, but like you are going out of your way to prove these things where I think that it sounds like it's coming from your own insecurity, where because it doesn't sound like he's actually expressed that he's afraid that you're going to do that to him necessarily. And so, know what I mean? And so it sounds like you're already like putting yourself out to try to prove to him, but I would say knock it off.
Yeah, like it's not your responsibility to do that.
Not your responsibility. I mean, I think it's sweet and I think it's noble and generous, but I would maybe, and again, maybe you just didn't put this in the letter, but I think this would just beg more communication.
Yeah, I like your point though. I think women have a tendency to readily martyr themselves before it's even been asked of them. Right. I think we've done it. You know, I have past experience.
Me
and
too.
Actually, what this brings up for me is my long-term ex. There was a lot of conflict around money that became an issue. And I don't think I always communicated as clearly as I needed to. And I think it created issues. But it's in the ballpark of what you're talking about. Like, I would try to prove myself and I would try to accommodate because I didn't want him to think I was this kind of person. And, you know, all these projections that aren't true to our dynamic and our context, right? So every context is different for how money is exchanged and why, and whatever his reasons were for supporting the previous partner, you know. It's unfortunate that he felt stung by it, and that's something that he definitely needs to process. But you don't need to prove yourself.
Yeah,
do you? I don't know.
I agree. I mean, Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, you're not that kind of person. So I think having awareness about it, and like if you end up in a situation where, I think being aware about
and,
that.
Well, you're right.
But
the communication
not,
of you can
not going
again,
out of your way.
Well, you to, can. Yeah, you can acknowledge it too and say, I don't want you to feel like I'm going to take advantage of you in that way.
And I guess, you know, one other thing. If you don't have the power or the strength to leave, or it doesn't feel authentic, if you feel like this is, you know, you're just drawn and you know I want to be with it.
Yeah, you like that you want the baby blanket too.
Yeah, great, fine. You know, we all have to go down different journeys, and that's, you know, what's right. So do what feels right. And if that's staying in it, then I would just advise, yeah, stop putting yourself out, stop extending yourself. And I would open up more communication with him about maybe about the issues that not specifically the ex, but maybe the hurt around it, and get you guys communicating about it.
Well, and also even that, you know, it's causing you anxiety. Like you wrote us in, you know, you wrote in to us because it's unclear and you're trying to accommodate him. So maybe saying, you know, letting him know that you're making that effort and you feel stress around misstepping. So, you know, that allows him to address it. I also thought it was interesting that you all have not had sex yet.
Oh, right. Did we not mention? Was that
no,
not
it's in the, it's in her letter. Okay. So I'm just noting it. I think the kind of cool part is you haven't bonded your body and soul and emotions to this person yet. And that could be the saving grace of you stepping out politely.
Right.
I will say, though, on the flip side, if I'm dealing with myself, I hate to let go. Like, you're desiring that connection because you're curious now. You have that itch.
I know, but I think it's going to hurt and be so much harder after you've made that bond.
Yeah.
So don't execute. I would say don't, like, if you're having these issues now, like,
yeah,
especially if you want something serious, like if you're genuinely, and I say genuinely, 100% authentically okay with having a casual, no strings attached relationship with this man, move, great, then have a physical relationship and that's fine. But be honest with yourself.
Well, I would say the fact that they haven't had sex yet
indicates that you want something serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So honor that, stay true to it.
Yeah.
And bounce.
And you will find what you're looking for.
Yeah, masturbate tonight. Free yourself.
You can cuddle Gigi.
Yeah, exactly. Cuddle a friend. Ask a friend to hold your hand while you watch a movie to alleviate the pressure. I wanted to note, this was one tiny little detail in the letter as well, that, you know, you said he wasn't my usual type, so I didn't think it would work, but I stayed in the game. And it's not to... I don't know if there's truth in this, Steph. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in what you have to say about it. But when I look back on the relationships I've had, I have called it at the top of show, if you will. and it's not to say that I shouldn't have gone. I'm glad I went on the journey and I had something to learn. But I knew where there was and wasn't compatibility.
Yes.
Already.
Yeah.
And if there are things you can work on or acknowledge and the person's willing to adapt, then... okay, but I don't know, just noting, like, I'm curious, what are the reasons that he wasn't your type? And are they compatibility reasons? Are they chemistry reasons?
And it may not even be reasons that you can identify. It may just be gut instinctual, instinctive.
Yes, right, I always say instinctive. It's big adjective versus adverb argument.
But I will say, though, that when we're coming from a place of, and I'm not being offensive, but if it sounds to like you maybe are in a place of you really wanting to find a relationship and wanting someone to date, and when we're trying to, not in a desperate place, when we're trying to make something work,
you'll make sacrifices you shouldn't.
Totally. It just takes us down a dark path. And yes, Christina T, like, we will always learn something, always, 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 no matter what path we go down. But, you know, if we have the signs ahead and we're just not listening to them, we might have been able to perhaps choose a brighter path to learn our journey.
Do we have any advice for her in dating in general? I mean, she's been kind of on these apps and not feeling a lot of satisfaction from them.
These apps are a disaster. I don't know how anyone lives.
I get
their
overwhelmed.
Life. Like,
to
I've
be
only
honest,
been on one.
I don't know how to tell anyone apart. I find it overwhelming.
And I just, I'm so anti it.
You know what's a better dating tactic? Start Uber driving or Lyft driving. And the people that get in your car
are right
so dynamic. Not only that, but you could pick the neighborhoods that are geographically desirable
in LA,
to you.
Very important.
Well, wherever she's actually in the middle America. But you can tailor your experience. I've been asked out twice. I dabbled in the Uber driving, and I got, you know, in theory, two dates. handsome, interesting guys. Just saying. And it's such a casual way of meeting.
That's awesome. And you earn money while you get to personally interview these men.
A profitable date. That's actually huge for women.
I'm very behind this.
Because women get asked out all the time, right? Like, you're always kind of deflecting. Well, get to know them in your Uber. I don't know. I just offer, like, I do believe in opening yourself up to different and new experiences that allow you to meet people who are possibly good matches, rather than, you know, if you, I think a dating app in a way is like going to people would argue the other opposite, that you're going to the dating app because in fact you can tailor what you're looking for. But on that note, be really hella specific. Like, what do you want? And don't go on a date with someone that's just somewhere in the middle.
Right. I think it's about having fierce boundaries and not going, and then you bend things to make it work, which maybe is what's happening here. But then I think it's also, I feel like people just behave differently from my experience, my very limited experience with one dating app that I have been on. But the human behavior is just so different. And I don't know how representative it really is of who these people really are, because there's like the digital persona, you know, in the way they treat people. And then I hope there's a real persona that is different.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems that way.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's
the real human experience, like when I'm sad, when I'm happy, when I get upset about things, like none of that's on social media.
Right.
Not the full range.
Yeah. So I think that's good advice. I mean, yeah.
Okay. I want to note one final thing. Okay. You, interestingly, when you were reading the letter and she mentioned that right after Thanksgiving, he said that he wasn't quite over the ex. Mm-hmm. You instinctively went,
I was like, oh, he saw the ex.
Yeah. Yeah. Over the holiday.
Yeah. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. You know, I have so many stories.
Sounds
of
like
friends.
Emotions got stirred.
Exactly. So maybe it's, you know, letting those settle again or whatever. But
I will say kudos to him for being honest with you about, like, you know, how he went home, whatever happened. He came back to you and said, listen, I'm just not, here's where I am, you know. And
well, and by the way, I think it can feel heartbreaking, but the truth is that you're right. Kudos to him for doing that. And the fact is, he's giving you information for you to now make a strong and good decision for yourself, which brings us back to all the advice that we just gave, settling into what it is that you really want and stepping away so that, you know, he can meet you where he can meet you at your level.
Yeah.
You don't need to start bending for him.
You know, and I don't know what the spiritual laws are behind this, but I will say that I have consistently found that whenever I really, truly honor my own boundaries, you know, and if it is the case that you find that you are looking for something serious and you're going to step away and let him come to you when he's ready, I feel like the world responds to that, you know?
Oh, yeah. They'll be
and
like,
then,
plate
like,
shift.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're telling the world what you want and what you're ready for. And then like something comes back to you full force, as opposed to allowing yourself to cross your boundaries and try to make something work that's not quite right for you. Then you're sending the opposite message.
That you're willing to sacrifice yourself.
Right.
Cool. All right. We are going to take another break and then we will come back and answer this really fun question.
But also serious. I mean,
yes. No, you're right. Sorry. No, I guess because I'm sort of titillated and I like it. So we're gonna talk about that, this question about men. I guess it's cross-dressing
Do you think about men wearing women's panties?
Yeah. All right.
I'll tell you our thoughts.
We'll be right back. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And we're back with TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A. And we're ready for our next question. Okay, so B writes in, so I think I might be into wearing panties. My wife of 20 years is pretty game when it comes to most things. We've been pegging for almost a year now. But for some reason, this feels even more taboo. I've only done it twice now for just a few minutes. She does not know. What do you think about men wearing women's underwear? Full disclosure, I am a white cis male, identify as straight, but seeing two guys rubbing up on each other doesn't send me running for the Bible or anything.
Ooh, juicy.
Okay. Well, I have some experience with this.
You do?
Well, I had a client once who was a straight straight guy, probably about the same age, and he was very nervous about asking me if I would be okay with him wearing women's panties during a sensual massage. And I had never done anything like that, but sure, why would I care? You know, if it feels good to you. So, it was fun. It was fun for me because he enjoyed it so much. And this was a unique person because he was, almost like a superhuman, like very, very sensitive with his skin, his whole body. Like you could literally barely touch his skin and it would send him into shivers, like really
what?
Intense.
This is me.
I know, but Christina, like 1,000 times more intense than you. It was really, that's what I mean. Like X-Men superhero.
I've been working on becoming more like that.
Like it was this crazy. Cool. So for him, it was a sensory experience of feeling the texture of the panties. I mean, we didn't go into deep analysis about it or talking about it, but that's what he described.
But did you sort of play with the underwear lines and stuff?
So you
sort of felt more aware of them on?
Yeah. So at some point during the session, he would grab them or, you know, put them on at some point and then, yeah, so it was me. I would play with him through the panties, snap them against him,
yeah,
rub myself on him, you know.
With them on.
With them on, right.
Yeah, well, I ask because, you know, I like it when my male partner does that with me if I'm wearing them.
Right.
You know, and plays with the underwear on me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of similarity.
So there's a lot of, sure, there's a lot of pleasure to be had playing with the undies. What do I think about men wearing women's panties? I think, how you can't judge anything, right? I mean, I don't feel so. I think if it's something that you're interested in and curious about, I think you have to honor that.
Yeah.
I think rather than repress it.
Yeah.
I don't think repression is ever
the right choice.
A positive
I think
thing.
That a couple things come up for me about his relationship with his wife, right? And why he would feel afraid to bring it up, that it feels somehow...
That seems natural, though.
Well, yes, of course. And so always the solution to the problem is the...
Problem to the solution.
Yeah.
Make the problem the solution.
Oh, God. You know what I mean. But it's exposing your vulnerability towards her about the discomfort, like that you're afraid she's going to judge it.
Right.
But it also dawned on me, perhaps you picked up on this, but when he said pegging, I thought maybe he meant pegging her, but
she's pegging him. That's what pegging is. Yeah.
Right. So, well, both, right? The mm-hmm. any, but I wondered if his fear is, does that make me, right? Am I, yeah. And is that going to alienate her? Is she going to start going, oh my God. And is it a sliding scale where all of a sudden, you know, he's in a place where he wants to experiment with men and he's married. And I wonder it's maybe that is a fear, but again, honoring it and going there is the only way through, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you're right, okay, let's address it.
The larger.
If that is from what we can gather from your email, if that is the big fear of like what end road is this going to take me down? Yeah, I think.
Baby steps. Don't
project
too far.
I'm just saying, like, right. And also, if that's your worst case scenario, it's not that bad. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, it's a journey. Yeah, if you're being pulled down the road, you can't. It's a
halt
road you have
it.
To go down, right?
You well, can't, and the more like, honest and open you are with your wife, and the more chances you give her to be supportive, the more likely you are to maintain your dynamic. And something that comes to mind for me. I don't run away when I see two guys rub against each other either. It kind of turns me on, right? So who's to say it wouldn't turn on your wife? And
right.
Statistically, we know like women in general are physically, biologically more aroused by various sexual acts, you know, whereas men are a little more hardwired. So
right.
So I guess my point being, you know, maybe the road it leads down is that you two watch mixed porn together or, you know, and kind of get each other off watching men rub each other.
Yeah.
But that's further down the road. I mean, right now you want to play with wearing underwear. Maybe you both wear fun underwear and kind of tease each other in the ways I'm talking about, which is, you know, rubbing against the fabric and playing with the sensations of it.
Can I say this one thing came to mind where... And I will say this because I related it to an experience I had when I was going through my exploration of submission and BDSM and stuff. But I would say because this is a new development for you, And because, as we say on the show, sex isn't ever just about sex, I would maybe wonder, I would encourage you to maybe dive into what it is that you're actually needing. And I'm not saying to do this in order to make this go away. I'm encouraging you to do this so that you understand, or maybe some part of your psyche is trying to tell you or indicate something that is missed elsewhere in your life as well. For example, maybe, I don't know, this is just an example, but maybe wearing panties makes you feel adored more. Maybe you're looking for the adoration or the praise for your physicality. I don't know.
Yeah, and so maybe, or the feminine, like receiving from your wife,
right,
more.
Right. And so maybe you aren't receiving in your life in other areas, and maybe this is a manifestation of that. So I only say that to encourage you to make sure that you're getting your needs met everywhere. Yeah. And that maybe this is an indicator of that. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah. And maybe it is a solution to not getting, you know, what I mean is, yes, explore that. And also, if this is something that's just fun.
Right.
And you want to try it, like, then approaching it in a way that, like I said, allows your wife to come on board. I mean, maybe it's, you know, you don't have to go, hey, I've been putting on underwear over the last 2 weeks, but you could go, hey, I had this little idea.
Well, I would be honest with the impulse.
Okay.
Yeah, I personally would be like, hey, you know, this has kind of come up, and I have to say I've tried it and I kind of liked it, and I have no idea what it means or where it's coming from, but I really want to go. I want you to be a part of this, you know,
yeah.
like of whatever's going on and whatever's blooming, you know. So I would just be honest with where you are with the whole process.
Yeah. And do you like wearing her underwear? I'm kind of curious.
Oh, interesting.
Because I'm like, there's something kind of sexy about that. I like the idea of, you know.
Or maybe you want your own.
Well, you know, right. Because I was thinking about how I'll wear my guy's boxers, right? It's harder for him to maybe fit into my underwear, but I can fit into his boxers, right? And there's something about that intimacy, that shared genital connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. And yeah, but maybe you do want your own too. They're so pretty. I want my own. Mail me some underwear, people.
What girl doesn't like getting underwear?
Oh my god, lingerie is so beautiful.
Yep. Okay, so that I think that's all my notes on B.
Yeah. So thank you for writing, and thank you for sharing with us.
And thank you for being honest. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah. It's deeply satisfying. Actually, I love answering these questions. I love engaging with you guys. So I hope you're having fruitful holidays. If you're feeling pineful loneliness, listen to our Cuddle Sanctuary episode and get yourself a cuddle buddy. For real.
And if you want to have your questions answered on our next episode, we have these episodes come out for the moment at the end of every month. And you can email us at advice@tatalksex.com. And in preparation for my trip to Europe, I would love to hear about any information you guys have read that has been really impactful for you about masculine and feminine. And if you have any suggestions, you can email me and contact me from my website, stephanieallen.com. And
find us on social media, tatalksex.com. Sorry. All that dot com. No, just at tatalksex, Instagram, Twitter. We keep up pretty regularly there with fun pictures and whatever is going on in production and post. It's been another episode of Ask TNA, episode 126, because sex isn't ever just about sex. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.